Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Neverland Files podcast.
Today is a life advice podcast day. We've had some fans write in with some questions that they have for us, and we're going to work through some of their questions. What is this? This is like Ask Abby.
Is that what this called in the newspaper in the
old
days?
Yeah, where they're like, they need advice about something, and we're here to give advice.
And I was chuckling when you were introducing it because I was embarrassed. I was just like, yes, there are people asking for our advice on things in our little podunk podcast here.
Oh my gosh. Don't get too excited, guys. You just wait.
Yeah, it's this could be interesting.
This is, so Corbin, why don't you read us our first scenario, or not first scenario, sorry. Read us our first letter, our first need advice situation.
Okay. All right. So anyway, and we haven't been preparing the advice that we're giving, so this could go off the rails pretty quickly.
Oh, it could be. Oh, boy.
Camry's going to referee to make sure that we're on the right page here.
Don't say that.
Okay. All right. This is our first emailer. This is from Rapunzel, who's aged 18.
Rapunzel from Corona. She's a nice person.
The subject of her email is take a break, break up, or commit.
Ooh.
So Rapunzel, 18 years old, just finishing up the school year, getting ready to make some big decisions in her life.
Uh-huh.
Has met a very significant person, very intriguing, interesting person. However, she's concerned. She's concerned, do I need to step back a little bit and cool the jets?
Uh-huh.
Take a little bit of a break. Do I need to break up with this individual? Is there someone else out there? She has not experienced many people.
Corbin has experienced many people.
Right.
All right. Okay.
I've only known a handful of critters.
Uh-huh.
And so do I need to break up? Or do I need to commit? Is this as good as it gets? And so that is the question being posed by Rapunzel to us, asking for our life advice.
Oh, this is difficult because, one, we don't know. First of all, we don't know the person, obviously.
Well, she mentioned his name's Flynn. He's a really charming kind of guy. You know,
he's kind of roguish. He's kind of the bad boy of the high school.
Right. He's made some questionable decisions in the past, but seems really nice. And he's made some changes significant, over the last few hours.
Yes, over the last few hours. Known each other a week. You know what? This is hard because you know those high school couples, you have some that like graduation comes and they just break up. They're like, yeah, we're done.
Oh, really? I wasn't really in the know. So I could see
you
how
have
that would
some
happen.
That like kind of date through the summer and then they're like, no, we're going to stay together. And then like even when we're going our separate ways, we're going to stay long distance. And then it just kind of fizzles.
Those are the groups. Even if it's not dating, it's more friends. Like we'll be friends forever. And I always look back and I'm like, oh, really? Some people do. But a lot of them... You meet other people, you get kind of distracted.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard, Corbin.
My
thing is, I'm like, what's wrong with the summer? Like, if you're both committed to it and you're both feel good about it, like, give it a few more months and then check back in. You're young. Usually you don't have to say, I want to get married today. But if things are going well, like, why all of a sudden just be like, well, we have to break up because graduation.
Well, you know, I've come from the school of thought that it's good to meet other people, especially in your situation where you admitted that you haven't met a lot of people in your life. I think it would be healthy to, again, stay in contact, but I think it would be good to take a little bit of a break, cool it off a little bit, meet some other people, go experience some other things. And then you might circle back around, which is wonderful. But there's no, like, I think it's a little foolish to just jump into a full-term, long-term commitment.
Well, no, you don't have to do long-term. Like I said, like if it's still working out, let it play out for like a month and a half and you check back in.
But
you don't have to be committed forever.
Well, the problem is though, you're not meeting people because when you're in a relationship and you feel this kind of like, hey, let's see how it goes for this next month and a half. There are people passing you by because you're focused on each other. So again, meet other people, see what it's like. Go, and it doesn't have to be like dating. It could just be like, just go to parties and see what else is going on out there. And then you might find yourself thinking about wanting to be with this particular Flynn character.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of circle back around, but you're still in contact. You haven't said, but I think that's totally fair in those situations. So
this is tough because this is ruining this couple for me. I'm like, this is terrible. All right.
It's not ruining the couple. We want the this couple to be long-term solid. We don't want it to be first person I meet. We feel the pressure because we're an item.
If you're asking this question, then clearly you're in a place where you have question marks, which means stepping back is probably a good option.
Right.
That's a good point.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. My first letter is from a little cute fella. His name's Michael Yagubian. And his concern is he's only 12 years old, he specifies. So he's not a teenager by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But he's in middle school and he's got really lousy friends. He either doesn't have any friends or he's got friends who take advantage of him. He shares a room with one of these guys and he stays up all night. Goob's not getting any sleep. So he's just having a hard time finding his people.
Right.
Finding his people who treat him good and he treats them good. Mm. So for 12-year-old Michael Yagubian, how can you help our friend here, Corbin? What life advice would you give to Goob?
Oh, is that his nickname? Okay. Goob. All right. For me, and this is really hard to do in middle school, so I know that there's going to be pushback on this advice, but when you find yourself in a situation where you don't have many friends,
mm-hmm.
the natural reaction might be to withdraw and not interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing to do, the natural reaction might be when you do connect with people is you pretend and try and be what they want you to be.
Yes.
So Goob, I would suggest, and this is very difficult for a middle school aged kid, but I think you've got the strength internally. There's something about you. I can just tell by the words you're writing on this letter. I would encourage you to be as transparent and open about who you are and what you enjoy. And you will send out a lot of messages to people that will get rejected, but there will be a few people that will see you and hear you and be like, oh, that's actually somewhat like me, but I just don't have the courage to step up and say it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to gravitate towards you. And it might just be one or two people, but the more messages you send out and the more you're just open and you, again, there's going to be some pretty blatant rejection because people think you're weird and different and all these things, but there will be a couple people that will notice and they will be drawn to you for your uniqueness.
Mm. Also, Goob, you know, if you got a friend who's keeping you up all night and you're not getting any sleep, clearly they're not very concerned for your needs. So that's not a very equal friendship kind of being taken advantage of here.
Would you say that person is taking advantage of you?
They're just oblivious, which means they don't care about your needs.
Right.
What they're doing is more important.
Right. So, but it's still their roommates, so it's hard to, what do you do in that situation?
Right. But I mean, you got, even at that age, like you got to be willing to compromise, you know? And you may have to, if it's somebody that you still care, like that you have a previous relationship, and you still really care about them, maybe you got to have that tough conversation where it's like, look, bud, I need you to put the inventions away, turn the lights off, or go somewhere else because I need to sleep. I have an important baseball game tomorrow, and I need to play well. So I would really appreciate your support. I've been supporting you and your inventions. Please let me have a couple hours of sleep.
Yeah.
You gotta communicate clearly. It's so hard.
That's good. Yeah. I think you at least try, but I wouldn't bank on it just based on who this person is. I think we might have to find an adult to monitor.
And if you need an adult to monitor, yes, like tell your adult, your parent, your whoever to come and help you communicate clearly as well.
Yeah. So anyways, I think lean into your strengths, your interests. If you love unicorns, for example.
Yeah.
You love writing.
Uh-huh.
Find those people and connect
with
them.
Baseball. If you love baseball.
Right. If you like baseball, good. And then those people, just know that not everyone, you're not going to get along with everybody.
Mm-mm.
And you're going to have roommates from time to time throughout your life that in college and other places where you're just going to be like, that's not a good fit. And
they're
that's
hard to work with.
But to Camry's point, learn to at least express your
needs.
Your needs.
Yep.
And then hopefully there's some compromise.
Yep. And if there's not, get the authority involved.
Yeah. Get the parent involved.
the parent or the
move out.
Yeah.
I think you're a pretty resourceful chap. Can figure it out from there. But
take care of yourself.
Right.
Don't stay in the same outfit for 20 years.
Because we've seen, and history tells us, that when you don't take care of yourself, you make some poor decisions.
You sure do.
And it, in the future, it could be problematic.
It really could. The future is in jeopardy. So really, really take care of yourself, Goop.
You're important. That's all we want to say. You are very important to the future.
You matter. All right, Corbin, who is our next life advice person?
Our next, not caller.
Friend. Caller. Writer in.
Writer. Okay. All right. This next individual that we're going to talk about, this is an email that was sent to us from Alice. Alice is 12 years old. And in her letter, she talks about she needs some dream advice. She keeps having some unsettling and yet intriguing dreams. And it's causing her to wonder, should I embrace this and pursue understanding and trying to figure out these dreams?
Uh-huh.
Or should I just pass this off?
Try and get rid of them.
As just, it's a weird dream. Mm-hmm. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. How do I deal with unsettling, intriguing
dreams?
She's
having a hard time sleeping.
Right.
It's insomnia. Causing,
yes. So again, Alice
is
wondering.
Does she specify what's in her dreams? Just out of curiosity.
Lots of colorful things, objects that talk that shouldn't talk.
Okay.
Morsels that she partakes, and then it changes who she is physically.
Yes.
There's a particular villain in this dream that scares her, that really causes the stress and the sweats and to wake up suddenly.
Little sweats. Ooh, I hate the night sweats. That's right. No good.
Right. And it's a reoccurring thing. And she's just like, what do I do? I'm only, you know, is this normal for a person of my age and in my situation?
Well, there are many avenues to go down here. First of all, you got to decide, do you want to understand the dreams or do you want to get rid of the dreams? This is two different conversations.
Right, right.
First, if you want to get rid of the dreams, I mean, you could look at what kind of stuff are you eating before you go to bed? You know,
is that something that happens to you?
There are some people that say, like, if you eat certain foods, like, it just, your body all of a sudden is very active. And so when you're sleeping, your brain's like, woo woo. So maybe check out your diet. I don't know. Maybe too much tea before bedtime.
Oh, you can't get in the way of the tea, though.
I know. Tea time is not bedtime. Not the same thing. Other things that may be contributing to your dreams. Maybe you're just having a hard time getting into good sleep, a good deep sleep.
Right.
So relaxation.
Oh, you went the I was going to go the opposite way. Exercise.
Right before bed? No, not right before bed.
More active engagement. You know, like if you work hard, play hard,
then you'll sleep hard.
Sleep hard, which. I think
we could combine this. Make sure you're working real hard during the day. Get a good, like, good exerting walk up a mountain or something.
Right.
And then when it's closer to bedtime, work on relaxing everything. Work on relaxing your brain, the busyness in your brain.
Right.
Do some stuff that helps, like, calm all the busyness.
Okay.
So that way, when you sleep hard, then maybe you won't dream as hard.
I think it's important as well to, let's look at, are you focused on the tasks that you're doing throughout the day, your studies. Do you focus on your studies when you're asked to? Because I think there is underlying guilt that might be coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not ever present, but at the end of the day, you realize I wasn't doing what I was supposed to. Mm. I was neglecting my studies. And so then it spins you into a place of shame, guilt, and other intrigue.
So this is going into, do you want to understand the dreams?
Right.
Sometimes we dream about stuff that we're nervous or we're anxious about.
Right.
So maybe this villain figure is your teacher yelling at you to get your stuff done. Alice, are you paying attention in school? Are you getting the homework done?
Right.
Are you nervous about anything? Do you have an older sister maybe who's really bossy? And she's adding some stress and anxiety. You just got to start looking through all this stuff. But like we said, you got to start with, do I want to get rid of the dreams or do I want to understand the dreams?
Right. Yeah, I think that's good.
Mm. Just don't go down any rabbit holes. You know, those dreams then can send you down quite the rabbit holes.
So what you're saying is an intervention to the dream. If you're in the midst of the dream, don't go near the rabbit hole. Is that what you're saying, Camry?
And don't go down there's a lot of information on the internet too. So there's lots of rabbit holes here.
Okay.
In the dream, don't go down the rabbit hole. Out of the dream, don't go down the rabbit hole. It's a deep, dark place.
dreams are hard to understand. It's just something that we're not sure what's going on there.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, like we talked about, there's some trauma or underlying issue we're trying to deal with and understand. But I think at the end of the day, my advice would be you're 12 years old. You're living in a world where you're trying to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So this will happen. Don't.
Not abnormal. Yeah. Dreams are normal.
I think the more you fight against it and push against it, the worse it might get.
Mm-hmm.
Just recognize, embrace the dream. And there have been multiple dreams where I've looked at it and a reoccurring dream where I said, I know you're not real. And in my head, I was like, oh, that works.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it's not traumatizing. I wake up or I know it's time to wake up.
Yeah.
Because this is getting out of hand.
Yeah. Time to wake up. Oh, dear.
So, again, just practice that conscious control of is this real or not? If it's a little funky, smells funky.
You could write your dreams down. Sometimes that helps you work through them.
Point.
A dream journal.
Right.
Right?
Right. I like
lots
that.
Of things.
Okay, Alice, there's a lot of different ideas, but hopefully your dreams improve and get better.
Okay. I have our next, I keep wanting to call them a caller. Silly me. Our next email. This is from a 15-year-old named Mirabel. Now, Mirabel, she comes from a really big family. Hey, the house feels kind of chaotic, and she's having a hard time finding some downtime, some alone time to kind of recharge her batteries. So how can we help Mirabel, who is in a very big family, middle child, and she just needs to find the quiet spaces in a busy household.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's tough. That's something near and dear to my heart.
This is, I know, I was like, oh, Corbin's got, he's got this.
You know, I think what we talked about with Goob earlier is communication is important. But with family, it's a little more difficult because we're family. Why would you need to create distance from us?
Yeah, and you almost get so used to each other's patterns of living that it feels weird to take a step back and like actually acknowledge them.
Yeah, have people check you. Are you sick? Are you ill?
Yeah.
Like, you've grown
They're
up
like, what's
here.
Your problem?
We haven't changed.
We've always been like this. What's your problem?
Yeah, so but I think that's a something to consider, right? Is who is the person in the family that you could confide in and say, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with all the energy.
There could be animals running around.
Right.
There's hobbies of other people, lots of food, singing, outbursts.
You might even say the walls talk and dance.
Yes.
There's just a lot.
The house itself feels like it's coming to life because there's so much life in this house.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would look for that one person to confide in a little bit. And you just send out little subtle messages. Does it feel, do you ever get worn out just living here?
Yeah.
You know, kind of things like that. At the end of the day, do you just want a nice quiet space where you don't feel like the floor or the door or a person is going to intrude?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that, again, that may not work. The person might just be like, what are you talking about? But, you know, get some feelers out there. See if anyone else is experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
The other thing as well is, I think identify a nice, quiet, safe place.
Uh-huh.
This might have to be really creative. We talked about this, but when I was a teenager, I went to our computer was in the hottest room in the house.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle of the summer,
no one
wanted to be there. And I was willing to make the sacrifice because it gave me alone time.
Because it was alone time.
Right.
Yep.
Alone time doing what I enjoyed. So maybe there's a space in the house that isn't utilized very much.
Yeah.
Or a closet.
crevices between walls. It's a great place.
Consider the walls inside the walls.
Inside the walls. I mean, it's quiet in there.
Right.
You'll be pretty alone for the most part.
And also, if that's the route you decide to go, just be open to other kinds of critters being your companions.
Who knows what you could find in their whole new world?
Yes.
Whole new family. Who knows?
But there's always that space in the house that people don't typically go to. Whether it's the dining room, we eat there, but no one else ever goes in there. Find that space and just quietly kind of make it your own in your own special way.
No, yeah, I like that. I like that. I like also the finding somebody to confide in. Though you always got to be careful, because sometimes everybody confides in the same person.
Right.
And that person starts to feel very weighed down by the pressure, you know?
Well, but this is about Mirabel here.
Right. So I'm just throwing it out there.
Don't worry about others.
Okay.
This is about you and you helping yourself.
Yeah.
You know, be able to, you know, work in this situation. So yeah, I see what you're saying, but but then if we get too sensitive, then we just don't
I know.
Share, right?
I yeah, that's true. That's true. No, Mirabelle, it's okay to want alone time. It's okay to want to spend time away from family. My advice on top of Corbin's would be get out of the house. You know, if you live in a beautiful location, go find somewhere like really green, maybe a nice little pond or a river.
Yes.
And just go sit in nature by yourself. If the town feels a little crowded, find those places away so you can just have some quiet. Because some people need more quiet than others, and that's okay.
Last little bit of advice that just came to my mind. Be careful who you confide in, because there are people out there that will try and fix everything.
Yeah.
And not only will they try and fix it, but they will tell everyone mm-hmm. that this needs to be fixed. So mm-hmm. you become the project
mm-hmm.
and that can put even more attention on you and more concern and worry. So, yeah, send some feelers out, but you know, those people that are always fixing things
mm-hmm.
are always talking about how they fix things. And just be careful of those people. Those are great people, by the way. Wonderful people.
But if you're feeling like you don't need somebody to fix you, you just need somebody to listen.
Right.
Choose carefully.
Right. Just choose carefully who you confide in.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Corbin, our next email. Who needs help? Who needs our wisdom and advice?
All right. This next emailer, this is from Belle. Belle is 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The subject of the email was, "Am I ready?" ?
Oh, dear. Okay.
Belle, similar to Rapunzel, has been thrust into a relationship.
Oh boy.
Though in her email, she talks about how she has a little bit more experience interacting with other people. The problem in her situation, though, is the options are limited. There's, she lives in a small town, not a lot of options, dating wise. The mm-hmm. people that are interested, she's not interested in them, and they're very, so she almost sees this as a way to, I've connected with somebody. Not only does this connection feel good and feel right,
mm-hmm.
but it's also getting me away from this other person that's very persistent.
Yeah, that's very pushy.
Right. So it's a win-win.
Yeah.
But
is it a win-win-win?
But she's concerned, am I rushing into things? Mm-hmm. Because this person that I'm dating, great qualities, but again, there's a little bit of a temper there.
There's questions.
And there's not only just about them personally, but their family. There's a lot of people involved in this family.
There's a lot of, and she's feeling a lot of pressure from the family. Is that
right?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they've gone to reunions where they sing to her about how they should get married.
Uh-huh.
There seems to be some underlying curse or something that she's like, what's going on here?
Right.
They're
hiding
hard.
Some things from her.
Right. Mm. And not only is the pressure to marry this person, but the family members feel like it'll transform their lives as well.
Oh, man. So there is a lot riding on
everyone's
this.
Looking at her.
That's a lot.
So she's wondering, what do I do? How do I cut through all this and make sure I'm doing this for myself and not for everyone else?
So might I recommend, it sounds like there's some genuine good feelings and things going on just between her and her significant other.
Right, right.
There she did, outside of all the other pressures and things, like that does feel good. Might I suggest a couple's retreat? Get out of the environment, just the two of you, to figure out, is this really good because it's good, or is this good because it gets me away from people and because everybody else keeps telling me how
right.
good it is?
Yes.
So I don't know if there's like some mountains nearby, maybe a waterfall. You guys could go do some camping or, I don't know, like somewhere cool. Go to a big city, go to the local big city with like lots of shops and bookstores, a library maybe. Mm. So just do something with just the two of you to help you sort through how good is this really? And is it as good without all the other people involved?
Right. I like the idea of, I like asking the question, since I'm always involved in these kinds of discussions, giving advice, but I like when the question is asked, how do you feel when it's just you and that person alone together?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And if there's connection and there's good conversation and
there's comfortableness.
Yeah. There, you're drawn to each other and you look forward to those moments, and that's a good sign.
Yes.
Now, In some cases, though, there have been people that it's more of the idea that's appealing. So when I talk about the other person or when people ask me about them, that's when I get excited about the relationship because I can say I'm in a relationship. It sounds to me like in this situation, you're more invested. There's a more of a connection going on here, and it's not about talking about the relationship. But I agree with you. It can feel very intimidating when so many people want to know.
Yeah.
And are asking lots of questions. And not only asking questions, but are
invested.
They're all
they're trying to like get it going.
Right.
They're pushing it forward.
They're like, hey, do you guys want to go on a quadruple date?
Yeah. Dinner, dancing.
Right.
We will do the music for you guys. So like, let us help you make a romantic
night
out.
We'll make the dinner. Yeah. We'll do everything for you.
Yeah.
And in
those
cases,
we've even got clothes in our closet you can borrow. I mean, like some people get really excited.
Right. So I think Camry's advice here is spot on. Find a space to get away. And if it's just the time of your lives, then you can come back and you're recharged as a couple to deal with the noise.
Yes.
Right. But you got to get away from the noise because the noise will just drown you. And eventually, if this relationship goes the distance here, there needs to be a discussion had with these other folks.
Yes. That look, you don't need to be involved in every aspect of our lives. And also an opportunity to be like, if we're going to get really, really, really serious about this, we need transparency.
Right.
I need to know what's been going on here.
Yeah.
What is people are keeping secrets from me.
Right.
And I need to be in the know.
Yeah. Like I need to be able to go to whatever part of the house I want to.
Yeah.
Including the West Wing.
Yeah.
I need to know.
Yeah. If this is my house, why can't I go anywhere I want? Yep. I hear you.
So yeah, that's I think Belle, you're on the right track. Cut through the stuff. And I think you're doing fine. You're doing all right there.
Yep. I agree. All right. Our next email is from Snow White. All right.
What an interesting name.
I know. Isn't that interesting? Like, I wonder if she goes by Snow and White is her middle name.
What?
Just Snow. I don't know.
All right, Snow. Let's see.
Okay. Snow White is 14, so she's in high school.
Barely. Like freshman, right? Freshman high school?
Yeah. But she's got a big life event coming up. She has been asked to prom, but she doesn't know her prom date at all. But he's really handsome, and he really went for it. He sang to her to ask her to prom.
Oh, okay.
She's feeling it, but she's also super nervous because she's like, I'm going to spend all this time with this person, and I don't even know them. What are your advice for Snow White going to her first prom, and she doesn't know her date at all, but he's really invested? He seems to know her. Boy, does he.
Well, I don't know about you, but if someone sang to me an invitation, I think I'd be a little startled. I might even run away.
Yes, there would be running happening.
But then the attention would be kind of
fun.
Like, I might peek out to see what's going on.
Which is maybe how she's feeling. She's like, he's really handsome. He sang to me. Of course I'll go to prom with him. But then she's like, but then there's all that alone time together. And you're like, what do you talk about?
Right. But if he has that much gusto, I mean, that takes a lot of nerve.
It does.
Well, some guys, it's not even nerve. It's just, this is my life.
Yeah,
I
it's like,
care.
This is who I am.
So I think I'm pretty confident in this guy making this a good time. If he's going to approach you in this way, he's going to carry conversation where it lags. That's one of my main concerns with the date.
Yes.
Is, are we going to keep the conversation going?
Mm-hmm.
And in your back pocket, you could always just say, hey, could you sing me a song? Right? That'll take up some time.
He sounds like the type of guy that would be thrilled. He'd be
right.
Like, yes.
Right. Like,
I would love to sing to you.
I brought my mandolin along just in case.
I have a white horse here too. Shall we go for a ride while I'm singing?
So I think this guy, again, this is just a date. So the important thing when you're 14 is remember, and this is hard because you get all emotionally invested.
You do. You're like, this is the end game.
So flattered.
Yes.
It could not get any better than
especially
this.
Especially if he's an upperclassman, you know? If he's a couple years older, you're like, whoa.
Right. So very flattering, but I would just have fun, enjoy it. Don't feel too much pressure because it sounds like he's going to carry the load of that.
Yeah.
As you're going through the date, just be careful what you eat. you know.
Yeah, because that can get a little, you don't want to ruin your outfit, but you also don't want to end up feeling sick.
Right.
Ruining the rest of the date.
So
heaven forbid you pass out. That would be so bad.
You know, first dates, I'm assuming this is like, it sounds kind of like a
yeah,
first date.
Yeah, it's a first date.
Date. It's just, you just, you know, be aware of what you're eating. certain things don't mix well.
Yeah.
Like they just kind of messy.
Yeah.
My issues of choking is a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if Snow has a similar problem.
Also, I feel like first date, it could be really helpful to go with a group. So maybe, you know, like get a bunch of friends.
Right.
If you're familiar with, like, 7's a nice number. It's odd, though. So you'll have, like, a 10th wheel. But, you know, get a group of friends together, and then that'll kind of take the pressure off of you guys being alone together all the time.
Right.
And you can just have fun in a more casual setting.
Right.
So you can get to know them a little better. So invite your friends. Have them bring dates.
Well, in the group of friends, it's always good to have variety.
Yeah.
You know, someone that's really positive and uplifting. Uh-huh. Others that...
It'll bring out different sides of your date.
The comedic,
the grumpy one.
Right?
Yeah.
There's lots to talk about. So diversify the group that you take along. Take your friends with you. They'll take a lot of the pressure off.
Yep.
And I think you're going to have a great time. Have fun with it. Again, this is advice that I would never give myself because when I was at this position, I'd be like, I just don't want to go. But, you know, if someone sang to me and had a real gusto, I probably would have gone. So
yeah,
this is enjoy snow.
Yeah. Lucky you, lucky girl.
Right, way to go.
Get to go to prom,
and be flattered. That's someone sings to you. I mean, good grief. Like,
yeah,
I mean, they must really
remember
like
you. Remember, it's just a date.
Yeah, it's just a date.
This isn't end game, like we said.
Who knows?
All right.
All right. Okay.
Okay, Corbin, you got one more email for us.
I got one more email. Oh, who's our last emailer? So we talked about Alice. We talked about Belle, Rapunzel. Our last email is from Luca.
Alrighty.
Luca is age 13. And he's made some significant changes in his life recently.
Okay.
He lived in a very sheltered environment for a while. He loves his parents, but just felt like there was more out there in the world. And so he went and he's being adventurous and exploring and ended up moving away from home to go to school.
Okay.
And his email is focused on school is not as much fun as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, darn.
He's learning a lot of cool facts and figures and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's longing for more adventure in his life.
Mm.
And he's just not sure what to do. Should I move home? I have a really good friend at home that we had just the time of our lives. I'm just on the fence about this whole school thing.
Yeah.
Is there a way to learn this type of stuff, but not in such a structured environment? And still be close to the people that I'm closest with.
Yeah.
I do have a good friend at school. You know, we get along well. Things are pretty good.
But it's just not what he was thinking.
It just seems like he had the best of all the worlds, and now it's not quite what he thought it was going to be.
Okay. Well, Luca, my friend, I'm feeling like this is a classic the grass is always greener situation where if you get stuck in this place, you will just always be looking at the next thing that I don't have will always be better. For example, someone who lives in the ocean would be thinking, I really would like to live on land. And then that person, you know, and like, you're just never satisfied. And then you get on land and you're like, this isn't good enough. Like, I want to be able to go faster on
land. I want to be able to fly. Right.
So the trick here is contentment, which is a joke coming from me.
Wait, should you keep listening? Okay.
Yeah, I keep listening. Sorry. Okay. I can give a good advice. I just won't listen to it for myself.
I won't do it.
So it's not necessarily about that school is bad. It's just that you're having a hard time being grateful for what you have when you have it.
Mm.
So it wouldn't matter maybe if you were in school with a good friend or if you were at home with your other good friend, you probably would still be thinking
about
missing out on the other thing.
Right.
So my suggestion to you would be just take a look at your surroundings. If you really feel homesick, write a letter to your friend or like plan a little visit, you know, to go visit. But make sure you're always looking around at all of the good things that you have in your life.
Right.
So that you're not constantly like, well, I need something new.
I like that. I've definitely had times in my life where I was wanting to be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Regular communication can help to staying connected, writing letters.
Yeah. So you don't feel like what could be happening without me. You're kind of still involved.
Yeah. Another thing that's helpful, for at least for me, was the hobbies or the activities I did while I was at that other place, mm-hmm. so back at home.
Yeah.
For example, if you enjoy swimming.
Yeah.
Going for a swim every once in a while.
Yeah.
Right? Doing that thing. That could have two effects. One, it could be causing more homesickness. The other could be, no, this is still a hobby.
You're reconnecting with yourself.
Right. This is still a hobby. I don't have to be with my family to enjoy this particular thing. So
yeah.
Go for a swim from time to time.
Yep.
Enjoy that. But I think that's really sound advice is there are times and periods in life where you have to buckle down and do some things that aren't ideal, yeah. right? Get an education, move away from home. But that doesn't mean your family is no longer there. It's just that their role is a little different in your life.
Yep.
And so you will have times to go back and reconnect with them during a summer break or something like mm-hmm. that and get everybody together. And that makes those reunions
that much sweeter.
That much sweeter. Yeah. Right.
So especially if there's pasta involved.
Mm. Right.
Maybe not sweeter, but just more delicious.
Hearty.
Hearty. Hearty reunions.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But there are times in life where you just kind of got to keep plugging along.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about school and education is there's always an end.
Yes.
You know, that in like when I graduate from high school or when I get my degree.
Or when the school year's over.
The school year's
or
over.
Or wait, when I get another long break.
Or a weekend.
A weekend, a long weekend. So maybe if you're really feeling that homesickness, like go to your little calendar and mark when the next weekend is. Get on a train or a Vespa.
Right.
Cruise home. And then get to see the people. But then you'll be excited to go back to school because then you got a little taste of home and you'll be like, I'm ready to learn again.
Right. Mm. So that's the nice thing about education. It just, there's intervals of it's intense and then break and intense and break. But
yeah.
don't miss out on the intensity of the learning and growing and connecting and knowledge because you're always longing for the breaks.
Yep. All right. Last
good luck, Luca.
Email advice. We have an email from Wendy Darling. All right. She is 12 years old. She really likes this boy, but she's not quite sure if he likes her. All right. So she's in middle school. She really, this boy that she likes is just really awesome. He's full of energy and life, flying around the hallways like a crazy person. And she just thinks that he's amazing. And they have kind of been talking a little bit and getting to know each other a little bit. But he also all of a sudden will just like leave and go hang out with his friends. And so she's feeling a little confusion about what she should do. Does this person actually like her? If he does, what should she do? If he doesn't, what should she do?
Right.
How do you deal with this, Miss Wendy Darling?
You know, I heard of a similar experience with another person. And one of the most traumatic events of this is they were invited to a party with this person, and then when they got there, there was just a lot of other girls that didn't treat them very nicely.
Oh, dear.
That was pretty hard.
Mm.
So if you're experiencing these types of things, first of all, and I know this is probably the worst advice to give someone at this age, but remember, you're 12 years old.
I know.
Right.
Like, meh.
This is real,
the
right?
The feelings are big, Corbin.
But it's real. Let's be honest. It is real,
mm-hmm.
right? This is... And, you know, sometimes there's these guys that swoop in and sweep you off your feet, but it seems like they're sweeping everybody off their feet.
Yeah.
And you're like, what about me? Am I special?
Yeah, or are you just sweeping everyone?
Right. This is tough.
This is tough.
Because the 18-year-old advice would be like, let's have a discussion here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's DTR this sucker and figure out what's the relationship.
Yeah. 12 is like, it's just big feelings.
Lots of big feelings. And even if you did have like a DTR, I wouldn't even trust most of the things he probably said. He'd be like, oh,
no.
I you're the best. You're my favorite, Wendy.
Yeah.
And then the next day he could be flying off with somebody else, right?
He totally could.
So this is a really tricky situation. So I think there's a couple things here. One is your parents are really important here.
Yeah.
If you have a close connection with your mom, sit down and talk to mom about it. And,
yep.
and just be aware that some of her advice might not be perfect.
But sometimes it can help to just express the feelings
right.
somewhere. Get
yes.
them out.
Yeah.
So that way they don't like sit and curdle
right
on the inside.
It totally curdles.
It does.
Indigestion.
And it just hurts.
It hurts so
but
bad.
But when you share it, it doesn't hurt as bad anymore. And you'll start to feel a little lighter.
Well, it's validating too, because most people have gone through this. So I would imagine your mom and dad have gone through this similar experience. They have. And your dad may have forgotten. He may have had these experiences a long time ago, but when you start talking about it, he's like, I remember.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I remember what
this
was like.
And you can like see the little like light bulb go on in his head.
Uh-huh.
And he may have to go stand by the window for a minute and just stare out at the sky and at the stars.
I remember something that happened a long, long time ago.
Uh-huh.
But a great opportunity to connect. But as a 12-year-old, this feels a little intimidating to open up with your parents.
It does.
Because you don't want them to think that, I don't know.
You're weird or that you're doing anything wrong or that it just feels
vulnerable.
Or you're
fooling yourself. Like
you're being gullible.
Like what if they say, how could you like this guy? He of course doesn't like you.
Yeah.
So you defeat yourself, but open up and share with your parents. That's a big one.
This is my advice, Wendy, darling. Wendy, my dearest darling.
We're not laughing at you, by the way.
12 is a great age to make friends. It's a great age to make friends. And it's hard to be able to tell who are your true friends. And I think any relationship starts with friendship. So you can tell people who love you and are your friend by a few things. Are they nice to you? All right. Are their friends nice to you? If their friends splash water on you or pull on your hair, they're not friends.
Throw a seashell at you.
Yeah.
No, wait, you can throw seashells back.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So how people treat you is very important. Do they want to spend time with you?
Right.
Do they just boss you around all day? Kind of start taking a step back and being like, do I like how these people are treating me? If you do, then kind of like move forward. But if you don't, then you sometimes you just got to remove yourself, you know? And that's okay to do. Know that there's everybody's going through their own stuff, and maybe they need a little space.
Mm.
But make sure that you're not just going along with it because you think they're cute, right?
Yep.
Make sure they're a good friend first, and that you feel comfortable with them, and that they take good care of you, and then you can move into other bigger feelings.
You know, this is great advice. This is something that I've experienced. Does the person treat you well when you're alone together, and do they treat you well when you're in a group?
Oh yeah, when you're with their friends.
Right.
Are you one of the friends, or are you like the punching bag that everyone teases and makes fun of?
Or just neglected.
Yeah.
They're so involved with their friends that you kind of get forgotten.
Yeah.
Left behind, you might say. Flapping your arms, trying to keep up.
Yes. Or also a good sign of like, are they a good friend? How do they treat their friends?
Mm.
Do they just like abandon their own friends and tell them that they're banished and they never want to see them ever again? I don't know that makes a very good friend. So there's lots of different ways.
There is. Last thing for me, Wendy, connect with your parents. I think that's a good one. But also your siblings.
Yeah.
Don't forget about your siblings.
They're like built-in friends.
Yeah, they may not seem like it. They might give you the eye roll and say you're being so weird or whatever.
Or they're younger than you and they feel kind of silly.
They're lost in their own world.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, a lot of times siblings, especially when you open up, are the ones that are going to sit with you and cry with you and hold your hand and just tell you it's okay.
Maybe even sing a little song.
Right. But it's hard because at this stage, you feel like your friends are more important than your family.
I know. It's hard.
But don't forget about your family. They're going
to
be
If you get to the point where you're like, I don't feel like I have friends. They've all left me. They've all flown away. Know that your family is always there. And sometimes it's fun to go pretend that you're 8 years old again and play pirates and do that whole thing.
Yeah, don't take things too seriously. When we're in middle school this age,
yes, I know,
we're so serious about it. We're trying to be adults, and we're not quite
there
yet.
No, be kids.
So be a kid, and don't be embarrassed to be a kid.
Have happy thoughts.
Yeah, that's why I go to Disneyland. I'm just like I'm in my
30s.
I want to be a kid again, and I don't care. And I see all these other adults that are being kids, and I'm like, this is great.
Yep.
And it's too bad because you see some of these 14-year-olds on their phones trying to be adults. And you're like, you're missing it.
You're missing it.
The magic is
right
here. It's right here.
The magic is here.
We're all children.
We're all children.
But you're trying to be an adult. It's not working. That's why we go to Disneyland.
Oh my gosh.
So anyways, so good luck, Wendy.
It'll all turn out. Know that you're gonna keep growing past this, and that someday you're gonna find somebody that'll treat you right. Mm. Just hang on.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Well, Corbin, my goodness, what advice we've given today. What wisdom we have imparted on these very random emails that we got from
our
listeners
fans.
Our fans.
Right.
Oh goodness. Guys, thank you for hanging out with us. And if any of you have need or life advice or would like to give any of these other emails some life advice, you let us know what you would tell these awesome emailers about their troubles.
Yeah, we have to say thank you for being courageous, sending us these. It's telling your story to the world.
Yes.
Right?
It's brave.
It is very brave.
I mean, to song and dance and the whole thing, putting it on the screen.
It's hard to be in that stage of life and to see everyone or have everyone watch it.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
Congratulations to you all. If you'd like to listen to more emails and life advice, please check out our bonus episode mm-hmm. on Substack, and we'll get you. Give you a little sneak peek into some other folks' lives and see how we help them.
Yep.
All right, we'll talk to you then.
This has been another episode of the Neverland Files. Join us on Substack for additional episodes and fun Neverland Files content. Thanks for listening.